Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Up, all of our liberty-loving friends. This is another fantastic episode of Liberty at Night with Nate and Charlie on the Free Talk Live Network, coming at you from Nashville, Tennessee. I almost forgot to say it again there at the beginning. We got to say Nashville because that's something you do on the radio. You got to tell people what town you're in because
they're all Vegas.
Nash Vegas for sure. We've been downtown a couple times in the last couple weeks.
Home of the bachelorette parties.
It is.
Yeah,
that is a true story for sure.
So all the ladies listening out there, we'll see you in Nashville soon.
All the time. We're out there partying all the time from what I can remember.
Yeah.
We are always out there.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, this is, like
catch
I said,
us on the streets.
This is technically a podcast called Good Morning Liberty. By night on the radio, we are known as Liberty at Night. But we talk about life, liberty, and the pursuit of meaning every single day of the week when we want to.
And here, I wanted to let you know something.
Mm-hmm.
I have a condo with nothing but...
God bless. Okay. So while Charlie's doing Jay-Z lyrics over here, I believe is what's happening, I will tell you about Liberty and stuff. Charlie's gone for the rest of the week.
I am.
This is his only day here because we didn't do a live episode yesterday.
Actually, I'll be back Friday, but you're probably traveling that afternoon, I bet.
I'm not. I'm here all weekend.
Oh.
Yeah, Lacey's out of town this weekend.
Nice.
So, I mean, there'll be people at the house, but, you know...
Not Lacey.
Yeah, just not Lacey. So I'll be bashful. I'm going to watch all of the sci-fi movies I can.
I bet you're going to take naps. Movies.
Oh, my God. Sleep numbers are going to be ridiculous this weekend. No, I'm going to be doing...
Oh, yeah, here, let me put Nate's address in the live group.
Go ahead and put it in there. We'll have a pool party at my house.
Yeah, Fed Haters Club. Y'all come visit Nate this weekend.
Okay, so it's Tuesday. There are some things in the news. There is an update to a funny story that happened over the weekend. So a lot of people have already talked about this story on yesterday's news cycle, but there's a little bit more of an update to it right now. Charlie, did you hear that Canada recognized and honored a literal Nazi in their parliament?
No.
Yeah. Well, it's because he was a Ukrainian.
Oh. And
so they honored him. He's like 98 years old because of this guy's been fighting for Ukraine. It turns out the guy was an actual Nazi in the SS.
Like a legit
real Nazi.
Yeah. Well, you have to thank your veterans, you know.
You do. Yeah. But he's from Ukraine, so it's okay.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
the thing. Ukrainian Nazis are in these days.
Well, we're trying to help them.
Yeah. So this, let's see, Canadian Parliament honors man who fought for Nazis. Speaker regrets his decision. So the guy, I will say, they didn't actually plan this honoring. I think the guy happened to be there for some reason, and the speaker, kind of off the cuff, was told about him and honored him for all his fight for Ukraine and all that. And it turns out some people did about 2 seconds worth of digging and found out that the guy was an actual Nazi.
Someone didn't do their homework.
So we got some videos and stuff. But the Speaker of Canada's House of Commons apologized for recognizing a man who fought for a Nazi military unit during World War II. Just after Ukrainian President Zelensky delivered an address in the House of Commons Friday, Canadian lawmakers gave 98-year-old Yaroslav Hunka a standing ovation when Speaker Anthony Rada drew attention to him. Rada introduced Hunka as a war hero who fought for the 1st Ukrainian Division.
Why was he there?
I'm not sure
why was this guy there.
I'm not sure why he was actually there. I have not been able to find anything on that. Here's just a little clip of them giving him the ovation.
Oh, gosh. His speech received at least a dozen standing ovations.
There's the guy.
There's also one for this man, a 98-year-old Ukrainian-Canadian who fought for Ukrainian independence against the Russians during the Second World War.
Okay.
A Nazi.
So they honored this guy, fought for the 1st Ukrainian, what was it, unit or whatever they called it. But that was also, let me see if I can figure out the, let me get back to the thing. Jeez, where's the thing? Okay, there we go. The guy apologized, with the Speaker of the House of Commons apologized. Of course, he didn't know the guy was an actual Nazi, so that's embarrassing. Although, I don't know, like I said, Ukrainian Nazis are pretty okay. Rada called him a Ukrainian hero and a Canadian hero, because now he lives in Canada, like a lot of other Nazis. And we thank him for all his service. Let me see if they name, it was the Waffen SS right there, or the 14th Waffen Division, a volunteer unit that was under the command of the Nazis. Mm-hmm. Okay, so, you know, confusing history there with what happened. Germany was going around just invading a lot of different places, taking the place over, and Russia was going around and just, in, you know, doing their Russia thing.
It wasn't that confusing because, hang on, you forgot to read the bottom part, which the Friends of Simon Westenthal Center for Holocaust Studies issued a statement Sunday saying that his division, this guy's division, quote, was responsible for the mass murder of innocent civilians with a level of brutality and malice that is unimaginable.
Huh.
Hmm.
Okay.
Hero.
Well, that's not good.
Yeah.
That's not, I'm trying to see if we can figure out why the guy was actually here. The elderly veteran Hunka was honored during the session. Zelensky addressed the lawmakers to thank them for the support since Russia invaded, saying Canada has always been on the bright side of history. The Speaker, who compared Zelensky to Winston Churchill, same, recognized a veteran from the Second World War who fought for Ukrainian independence against the Russians and continues to support the troops today, even at his age of 98.
So he's still supporting the Nazis.
So he's still a Nazi. That's what we got. Now, a couple little updates on this.
Some Nazis.
This is interesting. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen with it, but since they found the guy, extradition is now being sought of this SS Nazi veteran who was honored by the Canadian Parliament. A Polish government minister has launched a bid to extradite Hunka, the 98-year-old Ukrainian-Canadian who fought for a Nazi division during World War II. So they're like, oh, there's that guy.
Here's a war criminal.
Yeah. Look, we found the war criminal. He's still alive.
Being honored.
Man.
This guy went from having the best night ever to like, oh, no.
Like in the group, never mind, this is a white pill. It turns out.
Yeah.
You never think, I mean, this guy's life turned around really quickly. Here he is being 98 in Canada, you know, and being a Nazi and getting away with it, even getting honored up there when they're talking about Ukraine. And unfortunately, the clip and the story goes viral enough that now they're seeking extradition for war crimes.
Hey, I don't think there's any statute of limitations on
I don't
war
know
crimes.
I don't know when that runs out. Justin Trudeau, by the way, had some words to say about it. He did apologize for it and blamed Russian disinformation. I don't really know where he was going with this, but
he wants you to know that it's not their fault.
Here's what he had to say.
That's what he wants you to know.
Obviously, it's extremely upsetting that this happened. The speaker has acknowledged his mistake and has apologized. But this is something that is deeply embarrassing to the Parliament of Canada and, by extension, to all Canadians. I think particularly of Jewish MPs and all members of the Jewish community across the country who are celebrating commemorating Yom Kippur today. I think it's going to be really important that all of us push back against Russian propaganda, Russian disinformation, and continue our steadfast and unequivocal support for Ukraine, as we did last week with announcing further measures to stand with Ukraine in Russia's illegal.
The Russian disinformation, I think, is that Ukraine has a bunch of Nazis, and this is at a time where he's apologizing for recognizing a Ukrainian Nazi.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
he wants you to know that even though it's embarrassing, see, he's sorry that it's embarrassing. He's not actually sorry that they recognized a Nazi.
No.
He's sorry that it was embarrassing. And then he wants you to know that this is the only Nazi from Ukraine. All the other Ukrainians are fine. And if you hear about them being Nazis, that's just Russian disinformation.
Politico worded this in a clever, clever way. Nazi-linked veteran received ovation during Zelensky's Canada visit. Now, Nazi linked, that puts you right up there with being Donald Trump, basically.
He was a Nazi. He had a swastika.
He was a literal Nazi. But Politico decides to say that this was a Nazi linked veteran.
Mm.
You know, the SS, they were different.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so
I love the reader's added context here. He was an SS soldier that is far more than merely a link.
Yeah.
So
good job on the community notes right there. Okay, let's move on to something else. Now, this kind of comes across as this actual story is a white pill for
the... He has a very similar hair.
For the individual with who?
You and Gavin.
Oh.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah. He's got a little more gray than you.
A little bit more gray.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But very similar. So, is that your dad? Are you a California communist shill?
No.
Pretending?
No. Definitely not.
Yeah.
It's definitely not.
Are you a deeply closeted communist?
No, I'm not. Okay, this is a white pill for individual families in California, although I'm taking it as something else because I'm allergic to white pills. But it is good news. Newsom vetoed a controversial gender identity bill in California. Now, this is a bill that was basically going to direct judges to take into account the kid's gender identity and whether or not one of the parents was affirming the gender identity and one of the parents wasn't in custody disputes and things like that. Now they
which parent wins?
I don't know.
Yeah.
No way of knowing.
Should have duels for that.
And so they were going to be doing that, and that's not something I agree with. Okay, but they still can do that because they are supposed to take the health and wellness of the child into account, and if they want to read that into health and wellness, then they can do that. But he vetoed this, and he vetoed another bill that we'll talk about here in a second. This one's actually in the show notes right here. It's the first article in the show notes, and we'll talk about why he vetoed two progressive hard left bills last week. Mm. I think it's a bad reason, but. We'll see. You want to do this one?
Might be running for
El
Presidente.
I think he doesn't want to have these on his record.
Mm. All right. This is from National Review. Deviating from his past legislative support of transgender youth in California, Democratic Governor Gavin Newsom vetoed a bill that would have required parents to demonstrate affirmation of their child's gender identity in custody court battles. Under California Bill AB 957, judges would have been legally obligated to specifically consider whether parents have affirmed their child's gender identity or gender expression in determining the health, safety, and welfare of the child. The California State Assembly passed the bill along strictly party lines earlier this month, hoping to advance transgender rights in the state.
Just for a second, can we comment on the fact that this is a ridiculous, disgusting bill?
Yes, absolutely gross. And also forcing judges to be legally obligated to specifically consider.
I mean, this already happens. We've already heard stories of this happening where parents losing their rights because they weren't affirming their child's gender dreams. But actually directing them and being legally obligated to look at this, that takes it a step further, for sure.
Newsom said in a statement late Friday night, he appreciates the passion and values that the Assembly member, Democratic Assembly member Lori Wilson, for authoring the bill, but disclosed he couldn't sign it. Quote, "I share a deep commitment to advancing the rights of transgender Californians, an effort that has guided my decisions through many decades in public office, except I'm not going to sign this one." He must have had that pen from Liar Liar. Yeah, write it or I'll break it off. He said, "That said, I urge caution when the executive and legislative branches of state government attempt to dictate in prescriptive terms that single out one characteristic legal standards for the judicial branch to apply."
That's a weird quote coming from Gavin Newsom.
Kind of weird from this guy. Other-minded elected officials in California and other states could very well use this strategy to diminish the civil rights of vulnerable communities. It is kind of like, how can the legislative branch dictate to the judicial branch what they must review.
I mean, I guess they can't.
Yeah.
And somehow he recognized this.
Nonetheless, the California governor noted judges are still, quote, required to consider a child's health, safety, and welfare in the context of their gender identity when hearing out parents in child custody cases, even if the bill wasn't signed. Moreover, a court under existing law is required to consider a child's health, safety, and welfare. Following the governor's veto, Wilson expressed her disappointment with the decision. I am extremely disappointed we can't mutilate children, as many children as I wanted to mutilate. I added that. Emphasis.
That added. Was not her quote.
Emphasis added
okay.
by Chuck.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she says, quote, I am extremely disappointed. I know the governor's record. He's been a champion for the LGBTQ plus community for years and even before it was popular to do so. Now, is it popular, Miss Wilson?
I think, well, not the kids thing. Not super popular there. No.
However, on
allowing people to be who they want to be as adults, I think is pretty popular, yeah. Right?
Yeah, maybe it's maybe 50-50 there. The whole what is a woman thing kind of really put a damper on that, you know?
Yeah. Yes. But if people want to be who they want to be, it just doesn't mean that you're going to force me to bend the truth on your behalf and call you a different word. Now, if you've legally changed your name, that's one thing I will say. I think people like even Jordan Peterson or some of the others will take it too far. And calling, you know, like Elliot Page.
Mm.
If she's legally changed her name.
You're dead naming her on the radio?
I'm dead gendering.
Oh.
If the legal name is Ellen now and you're like Elliot, you're like, okay, well, you weren't born like your human being. Like it just was Elliot, like natural to you, man. No, your parents gave you that as your legal name. If you change your legal name, you don't have to be a D-bag about saying the old name. Like people change their names. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
They do.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Now the gender part, that's different.
Right. She continues on saying that her bill was intended to give the trans community a voice, particularly in the family court system, where non-affirming parent could have a detrimental impact on the mental health and well-being of a child. What if the affirming parent had a detrimental impact on the mental health and well-being of a child? And how do you determine this? Because all the evidence they use,
science, Charlie,
is garbage.
It's science, though. Mm-hmm. There is a couple studies that followed people for a year.
Scott Weiner was a little bit louder about this. He said this veto is a tragedy for trans kids here and around the country. Weiner posted on X, formerly known as Twitter, these kids are living in fear with right-wing politicians and Democratic governors working to out them, deny them health care, ban them from sports and restrooms, erase their humanity. California needs to unequivocally stand with these kids.
Now, if you look at polls, we were talking about whether or not things are popular. As far as national polling goes, not that that always matters, but it does give you a little bit of a temperature reading on the country. Like 73% of the country thinks that people should perform the sport of their biological
sex,
you know, and not whatever they are identifying as. And so it's not just hardcore right-wing Christian conservatives or whatever they're doing this. Like, that's a pretty common held belief right now. So, anyway.
Gross.
That's one. Let's look at one more. Newsom also vetoed the California. I was surprised by this, too. A California bill to have human drivers ride in autonomous trucks. So, autonomous shipping. It's going to be a thing coming. I guess it already is a thing in some places, but
and I gotta let you know, look, if you're a truck driver right now, we've been talking about this for 6 years,
yeah,
at least. Okay, the riding is on the side of your trailer, on the truck.
Yeah,
they're riding it on there,
and it's AI.
Yeah, you should read it, and because there aren't those jobs are going to go away.
They will. They will.
And within the next 5 to 10 years.
And I believe this was more than likely a union or something that was pushing in this bill to have, like, okay, even if you have an autonomous truck, you got to pay a driver to to ride? Are you just a truck rider at that point? Like, oh, what's your husband doing? He's a truck rider.
He's,
you know?
He watches Netflix, going down the road, making sure the computer don't mess nothing up.
So they wanted to have someone in there, even though it was an autonomous truck. And that's what the bill was going to say. It's a bill to require human drivers on board self-driving trucks, a measure that union leaders and truck drivers said would save hundreds of thousands of jobs in the state.
And here's the thing, truck drivers, I don't want you to go without a job. I want you to have a job. But you have to know, like, as innovation spurs, the certain jobs end up going away. And you can take the skills you have. I'm sure you're a great driver. I'm sure you know a lot about mechanics. I know most truck drivers can fix things themselves. They know how to work machinery and all kinds of. You have a very particular set of skills.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And you can increase those skills and start to maybe get a side hustle or go back to school or whatever it is. Because when your job goes away, that way you're prepared. You take responsibility for yourself and your family, and you're prepared for when your job goes away. You don't try to get the government. Then this is the thing that makes me upset about conservatives sometimes. It's like, you don't try to get the government to coerce the free market that you believe in.
Yeah.
By the way, you believe in the free market. You don't get the government to coerce the free market so you get to keep a job.
Well, that's the thing. Like, these people who work, it's not that it's not sad that they could lose their job that they've had for a long time and the way that they're earning a living. What you want is for them to have other workforces that they can go into, other jobs that they can go into. But you can't stop. You can't stop technology from changing the way that we do things. And if we no longer need someone in the truck, if that can help us, maybe it can make shipping cheaper. Maybe it can make things faster because we're not worried about the driver's schedule and stuff like that. Maybe eventually it's probably going to be safer, more than likely. If it can make things better, then it's better for everyone. And so you don't just want to save the jobs of the people that are driving trucks right now to the detriment of the entire country, which is a lot of what the protectionist job policies do. They just try to save that one person's job or maybe a million people's jobs, to the detriment of 330 million people, and then act like the country's better off because of it. What is better?
Or you know, you lose a million jobs, but because of the new industry that's created, that could have, you know, created 5 million jobs. So now you're sacrificing the potential jobs that would have been created in other industries.
Yep.
For the protection of these.
Absolutely. And there's an unseen problem right there. We don't know what that increased efficiency is going to do, what the new technology is going to do.
But you can look at history.
Mm-hmm.
What did the internet do? There's a lot of people who work on the internet.
Yeah, a lot of people.
They didn't used
to work on the internet.
No, because it didn't exist.
Mm-hmm. Coming up, we're going to talk about why Joe Biden is in some big trouble for the election in 2024 on Free Talk Live.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA News Update. The federal probe into President Biden's handling of classified documents before taking office now extends to an examination of Obama-era security measures and White House procedures. Sources present during interviews suggest instances of carelessness during Biden's vice presidency have been uncovered. Time is ticking for Congress to dodge a government shutdown this week. The House is set to vote on crucial funding bills, but Speaker Kevin McCarthy might face a support shortage. A handful of staunch Republicans are holding up legislation, pushing for significant spending cuts. President Biden stood in solidarity with UAW members on the picket line in Michigan today, demonstrating his support. Holding a bullhorn, he addressed the striking workers, emphasizing their rightful claim to a substantial pay increase.
Now they're doing incredibly well. And guess what? You should be doing incredibly well, too.
Former President Trump will join the picketers tomorrow. John Schaefer, USA News.
Did you receive a call or message that mentioned Social Security and demanded immediate action? Did the caller know your Social Security number or other personal information and tell you that your Social Security number had been used in connection with the crime? Did you feel worried that your Social Security number might be suspended, your bank account might be frozen or seized, or you could be arrested? That is not the Social Security Administration. Social Security will not threaten you, demand your personal information or instant payment, email or text you pictures or documents, or use a real government official's name to gain your trust. Social Security does not accept payments by gift card, prepaid debit card, internet currency, or by mailing cash. Criminals use these forms of payment because they are hard to trace. Do not be fooled. Hang up. Ignore them. Report this criminal activity to the Social Security Administration Office of the Inspector General at oig.ssa.gov.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Liberty at Night with Nate and Charlie on the Free Talk Live Network, coming at you from Nashville, Tennessee. We're going to talk about why Joe Biden is in such big trouble. I heard on the radio that there was a new Washington Post ABC news poll that showed Trump ahead by 10 points over Joe Biden.
You heard that?
I heard that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe you heard it because I was looking at it on the internet.
Yeah, probably. You heard that.
So I searched Trump ahead by 10 points on DuckDuckGo, even. And the top three news results are a poll showing Trump 10 points ahead of Biden is being ridiculed. Here's why. The next one, poll showing Trump up by 10 points over Biden for 2024 election, criticized. Number three, Washington Post calls its own poll showing Trump beating Biden by 10 points, an outlier. And so those are my, I can't actually get to the poll and see what's going on. They want me to know and not to listen to what this poll says. It is an outlier, by the way. There aren't any other polls showing Trump ahead by 10. They're all like one or two.
Although this reminds me of something I've seen before. When was it? 2016.
Oh, yeah.
When there were outlying polls that showed Trump ahead of Clinton.
I'm still on the record saying that there's no way Trump wins this election.
I'm on the record saying he'll win it from prison.
You said that he's going to win, and I said he's not. And so we'll see who's right.
Yeah. Last time I ate my words for 2020. You wrote words on a piece of paper, and I ate those.
Yeah.
I didn't swallow, but I did eat them.
So Trump scores eye-popping 10-point lead over Biden in new poll. This is a poll of 1,000 people. You know what we think about polls, but we do use these to get a snapshot, and sometimes they are correct. I will, however, point out.
So now Gavin Newsom is running.
Well, we'll look at his numbers are included in this, too, and it's not good. But I will, however, point out that there aren't any outlying polls showing Biden ahead by 10 points. There's only an outlier poll showing Trump ahead by 10 points, and most of the other polls showing Trump ahead by one or two, something like that.
Hmm.
Overall, when you average all of them, I think Trump is like plus two or something. So we don't have an outlier Biden crushing Trump poll.
We get Trump, we'll have four more years of entertainment.
God bless.
Yes.
I don't see a good outcome. 2024's election has zero good outcomes.
Who would be a good outcome, though?
I mean, there are people that could be a better outcome.
Yeah, that's true.
I think. I wanted to look at a few of these things before we talk about the economic situation.
Did they print this in 1987?
It's very old.
Yeah. Yeah.
When this thing printed, it went,
yeah,
you had to put the paper on the roll.
This
with the little
definitely looks like an IBM report. This is done on IBM. I've seen this kind of report before.
This current one, September 20th, shows Trump 51, Biden 42. How about that? Now, if you look at some of the alternatives, first off, we'll look at the economic situation here, because I think this is a pretty important one. Would you say that you're better off or not as well off now that Biden is president, or since Biden became president? Not as well off. 44% of the respondents said not as well off. And when you go further back, that number goes down, and then they do it for each president. So when Trump came in office, were you better off financially than you were in the previous administration? And so with Trump not as well off, only 13% of people said that they were not as well off as they were under Biden or Obama. And then when Obama was president, that was in the 20s and 30s. W, he was in the 30s. Clinton, that was down more in the teens overall, as you can kind of see what the economic performance is. But 44% of people saying that they are not as well off as they were.
So since 1994, that's the worst, literally.
This is the worst that we got since 1986. It goes back to Reagan here. 20% of people
all the way back down,
well,
the trickle down, huh?
So 1986, this is the highest.
So what
number
you're saying is Bidenomics is worse than trickle down,
I guess,
according to the polls.
Here's a current issue that you see down at the bottom. Do you think the United States is doing too much or too little to support Ukraine in its war with Russia? Interesting. In April of 2022, so right after the invasion, 37% of people said that we were doing too little to support Ukraine. And now that has changed to only 18% of people are saying that we're doing too little. 41% of people are saying that we're doing too much.
It's mostly Canadians.
And so what's changed here, I think, is people's economic situation. And they're starting to see money go to other places. They're starting to see that we are paying for the salaries, like 50,000 salaries for, say, their firefighters and different government workers like that.
And also in your own pocketbooks, by this point, you're paying about an extra $1,000 a month.
Basically.
To live like you did just a year ago.
If you have a family, probably about something like
for
that.
For the average family of four.
Yes.
Now, luckily, you saved $2,500 on your health insurance and you got to keep your doctor.
Offsets.
So, yeah, but you're still $1,500 in the positive.
Thanks to Obamacare.
Thanks to Obama. Yeah.
Thank you.
That's all a joke.
Just in case no one knew.
Yeah.
Now, here's what is concerning for the Democrat Party in general. Here's what's concerning for them. Who would you like the Democrat Party to nominate as its candidate for president in 2024? These are other than Biden here. Kamala Harris is at 8%. Bernie Sanders is at 8%. RFK Jr. is at 7%. Gavin Newsom is at 3%.
Mm.
So while my theory on him vetoing those bills,
what's even better is just someone else is at
20%. Yes.
And then no opinions at 40%.
Now, when you say nominate Biden, it's only 33% say nominate Biden. Nominate someone else net of everyone is 62% say nominate someone else other than Biden.
Two-thirds say someone else. Only one-third say
That's not good.
Hire grandpa.
Not good for Biden.
Mm-mm.
And so I wanted to bring this into a
numbers don't lie.
They don't lie. And I mean, this is a poll. It's of about 1,000 people. And I will say it was Republican or lean Republican and Democrat or lean Democrat. I don't know if you can say that that includes independents because they are independents. And so it's going to matter who ends up winning those people, as usual. Those are basically the most important.
It's pretty bad
vote.
When your own team is saying, like, we don't want you to kick the ball for us anymore. Yeah, you missed too many field goals. Chip shots.
Now, kind of, you remember we're worse off than we were before. 44%, was that the number, I think? Corey Bush says, now, more than ever, workers are putting in longer hours and for stagnant pay. The labor movement is working to change that. So we're talking about all these strikes going on. I support the push for a 4-day, 32-hour work week.
Mm.
Now, interestingly enough,
I have a problem with this.
Do you?
Yeah.
What's that?
She's not going far enough.
Yeah?
Yeah.
32 too much?
Yeah, 32 hours is still way
that's
too much.
Basically slavery.
And 4 days a week, and you only get 3 days off.
Mm.
I say...
still working over half the week.
I support the push for no work, but you still get paid for your 40 hours.
Work time.
And we should not settle for anything less than $1 million an hour. I think everybody would be, they would be doing okay if they made $40 million a week.
It's the only common sense solution.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know why
you care about workers. That is
why are we peddling with these little numbers here?
I don't know. They don't make any sense to me.
It's ridiculous.
All right. So I wanted to test this theory. Now more than ever, workers are putting in longer hours for stagnant pay. We're not going to bring inflation in yet. Longer hours for stagnant pay. So this took me just a second. Did you know the Fred has an app? I got an iPhone app pretty quick.
Oh,
I can get on here and look.
Nice.
So we got the Fred iPhone app on here.
Thanks, Fred.
Average weekly hours of all employees, by the way, sits around 34.4 average weekly. We're fighting for 32. It's a big battle right now. But the average weekly hours. Is 34.4.
And by the time you sit on the pooper, you're probably...
I mean, let's be honest.
Yeah, you're
a few of those are trash hours anyway.
I hear that if you take a poop every day at work, you basically get like a full week's worth of vacation by the year, by the time the year's up, So get your extra week of vacation
there you
on
go.
The throne.
Mm-hmm. So longer hours... we had average weekly hours of all employees that spiked up during COVID, but that's because a bunch of people got fired or let go. And so the people who did stay and work, they worked longer hours.
Okay. The average up.
So it spiked up during COVID, but now it's back down to normal. So can you say longer hours? You cannot say longer hours. And stagnant pay. Now that's questionable. The average hourly earnings over this time frame we're looking at, 2007 to right now, has gone from $20 an hour. Now, this is average hourly earnings. This takes everyone into account. Okay. So.
But this is not what Oliver Anthony said.
No.
No. Yeah.
I'm telling you, that guy's going to be a Bernie Sanders supporter in less than a year. I can see it. I'm just saying, he's going to say he doesn't like a lot of stuff about him.
Because you don't like redheads?
I'm just saying, he's going to support the workers.
You don't like red beards. That's what it is.
$20 an hour, and that's now sitting around $33.50 an hour over the same time frame of the...
It feels like you're making 15.
Okay, so let's look at that for a second. This is not quite enough, because you got to bring inflation into the... conversation.
That's why you feel like it's stagnant.
I posted these two things.
Or worse.
I posted these two things because as far as companies are concerned, are you having people work longer hours? No, we're not getting that right now. And are hourly earnings sitting stagnant as far as what the companies are paying people? No. What's happening? Inflation. That's what's happening because the actual earnings have gone up like 60-something% over the time frame that we're looking at right now. And so what's happened is inflation has taken these gains away from people. They've been trying to catch up with it, but as we've said a billion times by now, it's always a dog chasing its tail. That's the way that it works. So,
or in the case of my dog, he's chasing his testicles are being chopped off.
Oh, yeah. How's that going?
Chopped off right now at the vet.
As we speak.
As poor Simba, you know.
Just imagine it. Picture it in your head.
Stripping that manhood right from him.
Gosh. Average hourly earnings, and then we've got the CPI. Now, this still shows average hourly earnings over the same time frame right now, starting in 2007, have gone up 67%, and CPI has gone up 53% since then. So if you just strictly look at the average hourly earnings of all employees in the labor force, it is still beating inflation at the moment. Here's what's bad for Biden coming up. Here is during the time that Trump was president. Average hourly earnings went up 14.25% and CPI went up 7.72% over that time frame. So workers seeing real wage gains during that time. During the Biden time period right now, you see on top, CPI has gone up 18%. And average hourly earnings have gone up 12.9%. And so you've seen real wage declines during this time. And so once again, it's not as if all of a sudden companies stop paying people, corporations stop paying people. What happened was our inflation rate jumped up over the top of what the wage gains were. And I know what you're thinking, average hourly earnings for all employees, that's not a good enough picture to look at. So we looked, now we're going to look at this. Okay, so we've got all employees, we've got the average weekly hours, we've got, then we have it separated out by manufacturing, leisure and hospitality, and production non-supervisory workers.
And if you learn in pictures, you should go to YouTube and watch.
If that's better for
Nate
you.
Nate brings in all these graphs. He's basically taking you to class.
And this is, you know, this is your class right now.
Those that can't do, teach.
So what you'll see since 2000... what you'll see
You're
since...
You're a great teacher, man.
I appreciate it. Yeah. Thank you. Since 2007, the red line is CPI, and what we have is all of those average weekly, or sorry, manufacturing, and they're all employees, leisure and hospitality, production, non-supervisory workers separated out. And so if you want to say, well, what are, that's the average hourly earnings of all the people, well, that's taken into account all the bosses and managers and administrators and all those people that are getting fat paychecks. Actually, the production and non-supervisory employees has risen more than the average overall. So that's something to look at there. You've got leisure and hospitality went up 81%. And then you see they're still all up over the CPI since 2007 right now. Caveats, by the way, our CPI number is fake and not the one that we used to use. And so we take into account the actual CPI. Yes, we know that is likely not as rosy of a picture. And then when you look at since when Joe Biden took office, the one that is toying there's a few things that are beneath the CPI right now. And I believe the things we have beneath, we've got production and non-supervisory employees, we've got manufacturing, we've got the average hourly earnings of all employees. And the only one above it is leisure and hospitality. So
strangely enough, even with COVID, huh?
Up over CPI right now. And then also this yellow line down here at the bottom, we're just looking at this. That's the average hours worked per week since Biden took office have gone down 0.58% since taking office. And what you'll really find here with this chart is that it's CPI that's throwing everything off. The first off for Cori Bush, no, people are not working longer hours for stagnant pay. They're working the same hours or less according to the data. Doesn't mean that there aren't individual cases of people working more. Are people working multiple jobs or whatever it could be? But the big problem that we have here is inflation, and that is why Biden is in such big trouble, not just because he's so old, okay, because it's coming for him, okay? We know that. The sickle of death is going to hit him eventually.
Inflation is, we call it the hidden tax, but really I think we should rename it to like the insidious tax, because a lot of people get confused on why, because they feel like they're working longer and harder for less pay.
Yeah.
And then you feel like you can't live the quality of life that you used to live. And you're like, what is happening? You know, I just got this cost of living raise at work, but it's not even making a dent or a scratch. And so inflation is really an insidious tax that keeps people confused. And it's a way for them to extrapolate money out of the economy. And that's why we talk about it so much, because it's extremely dangerous. And if it gets out of hand, it's what leads to some of the worst times in history imaginable. Scariest environment imaginable.
It can get pretty bad.
And I say history, like recent history, like Venezuela, like 10 years ago.
And so when I mentioned, when inflation was mentioned on my comment that I made on Cori Bush's post, people said, well, you know, when you look at inflation, I said, well, you got to talk to the government about that. They're the one who prints the money. You know, corporations can help that. And they said, no, it's not. Government has nothing to do with it. It's all corporations price gouging
people.
It's greed.
Yeah.
That's doing that. And so I don't know really how to fight against this argument other than to just say what the truth is. Corporations are no less greedy or more greedy than they've ever been. They're always reacting to what people's buying power is. So there's a reason that inflation was 9% last year in the summer, and it's 3.7% right now. It's because there's less extra money flowing around in the economy, and it's because these stimmy checks have started to run out. The interest rates went up, and so people are less likely to be spending on easy money, credit, stuff like that, and still a lot of people spending on credit right now. It's always a reaction to what the buying power is of the people that are purchasing the product.
Here's a great question from the Fed Haters Club, which you can go sign up for by going to joingmail.com or go to godhatesfeds.com. Stone Steve Cold Austin, well, he wants to know, you know, after opening a can of whoop-ass, if we started having deflation as steady as we've had inflation, would that be just as bad? Okay.
I think it depends on what kind of deflation. Like I think prices coming down on different products is a good thing.
It can be a bad thing when you have a central bank.
Yeah. Now what I'm going to admit is that I have more studying to do on this topic, and maybe if you're listening right now, you can, you'll have this shout out, even though I can't remember your name, there are good economists on the Austrian side of economics that have made arguments for why deflation is not a bad thing. I'm just thinking of investors and business owners and even consumers. If you see a massive amount of monetary deflation, if you see prices going down, that you can be more likely to wait and wait and keep waiting. And you don't want to let it get to a point where there's no economic activity, because everyone knows that if they wait until next week, things are just going to be cheaper. And so anything that you do is a bad investment, because you will always lose money on it. And so you don't want to be the person that does it now when this is going to go on for six more months after that. And
unless
you
could
have got it for a way
advance.
Better price. Yeah. Unless you're writing it down like that. Mm-hmm. But I think different staggered individual amounts of deflation in prices are a good thing. And what we really need is for prices to hold steady on things while our buying power increases and productivity increases. Well, not just buying power with fake funny money. We need more productivity to increase to offset this.
And one big problem we have is that our feelings or perception is extremely skewed, because we've had now 100 years of these boom and bust cycles that are extremely exaggerated compared to what they would be in a true free market.
Mm-hmm.
And so now, after generations of this type of cycle, it's hard to, the opinions are coming from a place of where we have these periods of hyperinflation or hyperdeflation, essentially. Mm-hmm. The boom and bust are extremely exaggerated from what they would typically be. And I was actually talking to a friend about this the other night, last Friday. One of the smartest guys I know, he's an executive at a huge company.
Oh, I thought you were talking about me.
No, this guy's way smarter. and I was talking to him about all this stuff. And so we were talking about that, and I was like, well, he's like, but hasn't that always been true? And I was like, well, if you look at post Civil War up until about 1913, when the central bank, you know, even with World War One there, you don't see as much exaggeration in the market as you do after the central bank is created.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you still have ups and downs, because that's a natural flowing process. I mean, everything in we can go into
There's no utopia.
We can go into quantum physics here if you want to. Everything's a wave. Everything.
Yeah.
It's all a vibration. You are a vibration of the car. Feels good.
Yeah.
Okay. Everything is a wave. It goes up and down, up and down. Your emotions, you know, your relationships, your everything is a wave, including the economy. And so it's hard. These discussions make it, they've been made harder because it's a lot scarier to have these massive moves. Mm-hmm. You know, when the waves, you know, it's like a big roller coaster. You're going way up and then way down versus like just a smooth little, it's like doing class five rapids versus class one. I want to go back to class one.
There's a couple things from the group before we get out of here.
I do have to go. So I know. Sign off.
Yeah. A couple things in the group before we get out of here.
Love you. Bye.
Ideally, I think someone said neither inflation nor deflation. I think that's really what we would want. The reason that they keep that 2% inflation goal is because they are so scared of deflation. And so as we have fluctuations in the inflation amount, whether it's, so if they're sitting at 2% and it fluctuates down to 1%, or it fluctuates down to 0.5, they would rather that not dip down below zero. And so the reason they keep that target is to, it's also to incentivize spending and consumption in the economy. So we would disagree with that part also. But they're also too scared of what would happen when it dips down below zero. And so they keep a buffer above it. And they think that the corporations and people's earnings and our productivity can keep in line with the 2% because we also have a target of like 2% GDP growth all the time that we want to be keeping. So that's why they keep that right there. Stone Steve Kolbasin, he also said it incentivizes savings, though, the deflation. And that is true. Like if you're not going to go out and spend because you get a better deal, you keep the same amount of money, that money can be worth way more later in the future. That's true. I think the worry is that you grind down to no economic activity at all. That's the big one. That's like your Great Depression type thing that they're worried about. I'm not going to talk any more on this, though, because I will say when I'm out of my depth, and deflation is not something I've spent a ton of time on. So, but one of our listeners did tell me to read up on what I believe some of the Austrian economists have said on this, and I am going to do that. I think I've spent a lot more time listening to Chicago economists. Like this morning, I've already spent about an hour listening to Milton Friedman this morning. So I spent a lot more time with the Chicago guys than the Austrian guys. So maybe they've clouded my school thought on this issue. Coming up, we got a couple interviews with some experts in their field. Liberty Unite with Nate and Charlie on the Free Talk Live Network.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay Heating Pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay Heating Pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. to your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.